This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Praise the Lord. Brother Frank, how are you doing tonight?
Hello, Shannon. How are you doing? I'm doing fine.
Hey, great, my friend. Welcome back, folks. We're excited to be here tonight with Pastor Frank Marzullo. And my brother, welcome back. Would you like to open us up in prayer?
Father God, we just lift this up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I ask that you touch everyone who's listening tonight now and also in the archives when they pick up and hear this word, that they be get set free, that Lord Jesus, that you will heal them and deliver them and set them free. Father, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that this is done. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Shannon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back.
How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Brother Frank. It's great to be with you again, my friend.
Great to be here. I had a friend of mine ask me how you ever came to the name of Omega Man Radio. I couldn't answer that. So could you tell me?
Absolutely. In short, Omega Man was a movie back in the 70s with Charlton Heston.
And, oh, yeah.
He was basically the last man alive after a biological war had broken out. I watched the movie, and Charlton Heston was always one of my favorite actors. And at that time, my mentality was, survive what's coming. And then the Lord called me to do this podcast. I was thinking, what are we going to call this? And he gave me the name of that movie, Omega Man. And really what it means to me now is, in a nutshell, it's the last man, the last woman alive, who see the Lord Jesus Christ return at the last trump. It means enduring till the end.
All right, got it.
Going through even war on the saints and overcoming by the blood of the Lamb or the word of their testimony. You know, the last man, the last woman, making a stand for Jesus. And so I don't know if I'll be one of those. You know, I may die as a martyr and go out with my boots on. Only God knows. But, you know, I'm going to try to endure till the end and go as far as I can. That's what it is in a nutshell.
It's a great vision. I like that. Well, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Yes, sir. People told me, they said, why don't you just call it Shannon Davis Ministries? I said, it's not about me. You know, this is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, that's what I personify with this program. It's trying to teach people and equip them through various speakers like yourself to be overcomers in these last days and and go the distance for Jesus, you know, come what may. Back to you, my friend.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. That's good news. Well, I'm going to be speaking tonight about knowing our enemy, knowing, let's title this, Knowing Your Enemy. And many times, you know, people go to war, nations go to war against nations, and what they do is they send their intelligence out and they try to figure out how strong the enemy is and what he's doing and how he's preparing for battle. And basically, that's what I'm trying to do on this lesson tonight. I want to expose some of the schemes and the plans of the enemy and show all the listening audience what he does and how he does it. So, but first, let me start off with the four ministries that I found in Jesus Christ. He came to bring the good news, the gospel. God loves us, and he wants us to come back to him and repent of our sins and come back to him, turn, come back to him. That was the good news, the gospel. And many people, they are caught up in different types of ministries, but they forget the true gospel is salvation. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and he's made a way for us to the Father. That's the first ministry that he performed. He preached the gospel. Number two is he did miracles. He came and he destroyed the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. He did miracles. And number three, he came to heal the sick. And number four, he came to cast out demons. And today I'm going to talk to you about knowing your enemy and knowing all his schemes and his plans. And I'm sure that all those that are listening, well, I'm not really sure, but most of us that are listening are disciples of Jesus Christ, and some are cued in to because of curiosity or you want to know a little bit about spiritual warfare. But I want to invite you all to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for the disciples of Jesus, for us to repeat what he did. See, in 1 John 14, he said, if you believe, most assuredly, if you believe in me, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these you will do, because I go to the Father. So there's going to be a time in your life, if you're a believer, you're going to be doing the works of Jesus Christ. What are those works again? The gospel, preaching the gospel, miracles, and healing the sick, and casting demons out. So these are the things that we're going to do. But before I talk to you about knowing your enemy, I want to share some of the ways that you can be delivered. You know, it's not always just casting out of demons that we're delivered. We can get delivered in Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, this is very interesting. Read the word. The word of God is healing, and it's a delivering word. But just by reading the word, sometimes you can be healed and delivered and set free. That's very important. So these are some of the ways to be delivered. Reading the word. Another way is to call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's sozos. That's an all-inclusive word. That means healed, salvation, healing, and deliverance from bondage. So whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, what's the greatest prayer? I always said, help, Jesus, I need your help. That's calling upon the name of the Lord. And in other words, you're made whole when you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, completely whole, and you are healed and you are delivered. So there's other ways. Number one, reading the word. Number two, calling upon the name of the Lord. Number three would be in James 4:6, it says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Watch this now. And continuing on in verse 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So God, number one, would be to resist pride. God hates pride. The second is submit to God, submission to God. And we're all, and the third thing that I see here is resist the devil. A lot of people just want the symptoms to go away. They don't want to submit to God. They don't want to resist. They don't want to lay down their pride. They just want the symptoms to stop. The third way is to resist the devil. And the fourth thing here I see is drawing near to God. So many are locked into a sinful life, and they don't want to draw near to God. They feel they can justify their sin. They don't want to draw near to God. I had a woman that called me the other day on the telephone, and she was in just total depression. And she said, she wanted help. And as I was talking to her, I found out she was a lesbian, and she was actually sinning and going against the Word of God and sinning. And so, of course, she's in depression. She didn't want to submit to God. She didn't want to turn from her sin. And a lot of people don't want to turn from their sin. They just want their symptoms to stop. And that, they go to a deliverance minister and say, help, I need this cast out of me. Well, where did it come from? Well, it came from sin. That's one of the things here. Draw near to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. Submit to God. King David was a sinner, just like you and I. But what did he do? He drew near to God for forgiveness. You know, he sinned against Bathsheba and Abiathar Uriah, her husband, and he committed murder by allowing the army to withdraw from Uriah while in battle so he can have Bathsheba. Well, you know, what did he do? He was in condemnation. He was in shame and in his guilt. What did he do? He drew near to God. He confessed his sin. And a lot of people just don't want to do that. So those are some of the ways getting delivered, reading the Word, calling upon the name of the Lord, drawing near to God, submit to God. And number four is the casting out of demons. Now, I believe in the casting out of demons. I believe that when Jesus Christ came on this earth, he came to destroy the works of the devil. And he gave his believers this word in Mark 16:17. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. Who's a believer here? Are you listening? Are you a believer? And this is one of the signs Jesus says is going to follow you. In my name, in the name of Jesus, they will cast out demons. That's the very first sign, casting out of demons. And the next way I find out that we can be delivered is to die to the old nations. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So in other words, die to the old nature. A lot of people just don't want to give up the old things, and the old drinking, smoking, drugs. They don't want to give it up. They don't want to give up fornication. They don't want to give up adultery. They don't want to give up sin in their life. But you have to die to the old nature when it surfaces. And another way to be delivered is to praise and worship. A lot of times people tell me, I'm so depressed, I don't know what to do. I say, put on some praise music. You know, the praise music sometimes, and start singing and start dancing in your living room. And let me read this to you, Psalm 149, verses 5 through 9. Let the saints exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. Dishonor have all the saints. You see, when we praise the Lord, we're binding principalities and powers. We're executing judgment on them. Notice that all his saints, that's us, have that honor. Now, this is what I do when I'm depressed. I put worship on. I praise the Lord. I lift my hands. I dance around. I sing praises to God. And I guess what? It's gone. You know, whatever's afflicting me is gone. The next way I found to be delivered is hands trained for war. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Wow. So God trains us for war with our hands. What do you mean? Well, Mark 16:17 told us that we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Yeah, your hands are trained for war, for healing, for deliverance. And in my book, I wrote a book upon the laying on of hands. I wish you all would get it. It's found on my website. Here's my website, spiritualwarfarenow.com. Go to my website, get my book. It's a little 45-minute read, or maybe an hour read. But in the book, I talk about how God uses our hands for healing and for deliverance. And the part of it is the laying on of hands, and part of it is using our hands for battle and our fingers for fight. So please understand that God is using you to use your hands. Anyway, let me move on here to another way that we get delivered is through prayer cloths. Now, I don't use prayer cloths very often, but sometimes when I can't get to a person and the Holy Spirit prompts me to hear that family, not every time, and I don't do it by rote, but when the Holy Spirit prompts me to, I activate Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12 by sending a prayer cloth. Now, what do you mean? Okay, here's this. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, insomuch that unto the sick were carried away from his body handkerchiefs or aprons, and evil spirits went out. You hear that, family? Sometimes I can't do it. I can't be there, but the Holy Spirit will prompt me to do it, and I'll pray over a prayer cloth, and I'll send it out, and people get delivered. And I always tell people, do not make this an ambulance, a good luck charm, or anything like that. It's designed specifically for healing and deliverance, Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Now, anyway, we want to do what's right in the sight of God. Now, in deliverance, there are three things that I'm seeking to do. First of all, I'm trying to recognize and expel demons from people, and also even animals too. You know, I've cast demons out of animals too, in the name of Jesus Christ. And there are many ways to get set free. And one time I was called to a house. Now, sometimes I pray over homes, and I just prayed over a home, anointing it with oil last week. But there's many times, and I want to share this one with you, and I was prayed to pray over a house because strange things were happening in the house. The owners felt a presence of darkness, and I prayed until I came upon a picture on a wall that their daughter had painted. Now, get this, family. Their daughter painted this picture. There were strange things going on in the house. And I came to this picture on the wall, and I was prompted by the Holy Spirit. It said, please take this down and open up the back of it. That's the only thing. I got that word of knowledge. Take it down, open up the back of it. And it revealed a hidden picture. It was a poster of a rock band called Kiss, K-I-S-S. Their name, K-I-S-S, means Knights in Satan's Service. Now, I commanded the spirit to come out of the house after that, and they came out, and there was peace in the house after that. So, number two is we seek to instruct those who have been set free how to stay free. Now, many times people don't know how to stay free, and we're instructed to heal people, deliver people, And I command the demons to go, like I told you before. But the devil always tries to come back and rob people of their deliverance and their healing. And some people have been prayed for, and they receive it. And sometimes a few hours later, the symptoms return back. Why? Because the devil wants to rob them of their healing and deliverance. And it's people have to take a stand in it. Now, after you've been delivered, I instruct people to come to the part in the Bible in Ephesians 6:13 where it says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Some people haven't done all to stand and stand therefore. In other words, they go back into the cabinet and take the liquor bottle out and drink it after they've been delivered. Or they go back into sin. Or they go back into some form of thing against God. And what happens is that the devil says, I have a right to come back in. And so he does. Take a stand against the devil after you've been delivered. The third thing we're seeking to do is to support those who are in spiritual warfare. Now, there's many times that I go to churches and they give the gospel and then they don't do any healing, don't do any deliverance. And then I go to a place and all of a sudden they're doing healing and deliverance, they're prophesying, they're casting demons out in the name of Jesus Christ. And those are the people that I want to support. And I tell you why, because they're doing the full gospel. Philippians 2:12 is a very interesting scripture and says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And now, I used to look at this passage and it used to conflict with what I've been reading in the Bible. I said, work out your salvation? What does that mean? And, because I believe in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9, for by grace you're saved through faith and not by works, not by yourself. It's a gift of God, not by work, easily any man shall boast. So, this conflicted me here. So anyway, I did a study on that, and I came to look at the word salvation here, and it's not sozos. It's soteria. It means something different. Work out your own soteria. So, and sozos is a different word, but soteria means something different. Soteria means molestation from the power of the enemy. So in the passage, it should read, work out the molestation from the power of the enemy with fear and trembling. In other words, take a stand against the enemy. So anyway, that's some of the supporting verses there, I want you to understand that Jesus gives us all authority over the enemy. When Jesus came back, now Matthew 28:18, this is very interesting. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. An interesting thing is Jesus handing us believers authority a little later on. He says in Luke 10:19, see, Jesus has all authority, and then he hands it to us. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you, who? Believers. I give you the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Wow. I met a lot of Christians that say, I don't want to do that because the devil's going to retaliate against me. Well, baloney. Jesus said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. You have authority, family. You have authority and power over the devil and over his demons. All All the power. All the power. All the power over principalities, over powers, over world forces of darkness of this age, over spirits, evil spirits. That's right. You have all power and authority over them. And so you're operating in, under the authority of Jesus when casting out of demons in his name, and nothing's going to harm you. And by the way, you do it by the Holy Spirit. You don't do it by you. You have to understand that when you deliver others, you are operating in the Holy Spirit. Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit, and so do we. We rely on the Holy Spirit to cast demons out. We rely on the Holy Spirit for healing. We rely on the Holy Spirit on who to preach the gospel to. We rely on the Holy Spirit on who to heal. You know, Jesus, when he went to the pool of the Bethesda, and there was a lot of sick people all around that pool waiting for the stirring of the water. And when the first one went in, they were healed. But Jesus went there and he touched and healed one man. So he was focused in on the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit tells you to go and touch one man in the midst of all the people that are sick, you go and do it, because that's the power of the Holy Spirit, and you'll see miracles when you obey the Holy Spirit. See, the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, that's the devil, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is the Holy Spirit's in you. And who's in the world? The devil. So you have overcome the devil. Now, one of the things in deliverance, in the receiving of deliverance, is that we don't compromise. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 12:30. You are either for me or against me. See, family, there's no middle ground. There's no gray ground here. You can't stand on the fence. You can't say, I believe in this, but I don't believe in that. The Bible says what the Bible says, and you believe the whole Bible. So there's no middle ground. Some Christians want to see how much they can get away with before it becomes sin, how far they can go. But Jesus says, you're either for me or you're against me. So no compromise. One time I was praying for a woman, came to the altar, and she had the neck collar on. She had a car accident. She had, and I started to pray for her neck to be healed. And she said, no, not for my neck, for my insurance case. Oh, no. No compromise. You shall make no covenant with the devil. That's in Deuteronomy 7, verses 1-2, when the Lord brought them into the land which God told them to possess, and he has cast out many nations before you. Watch this now. The Hittite, the Gerizzite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. When you compromise, you're saying, the devil, you can have this land, you can have this part of the person, but you're going to be cast out of this part. No, when you're going into deliverance, and when you are receiving deliverance, get delivered of it all. Don't compromise. Don't let the enemy stay in one part of your ground. You need to be aware how demons operate, and you need to be aware how to attack them. So many times in deliverance, I seek to find out if a person's in some form of sin such as living together, adultery, occultism, stealing, blah, 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 etc. And the effect of deliverance, all sins must be renounced. Hear this now, families, two things. Renounced and then cast out. Renounced and then repent. Renounce, repent, and then the casting out of demons. Now, it's important to destroy all the bridges of sin so that the enemy won't have a way back into our lives. No compromise. No compromise. No compromise. Thank you, Lord. If you smoke, stop it. If you drink, stop it. If you gamble, stop it. If you gossip, stop it. No compromise. Don't let Satan take advantage of you. All right? All right. So we want to learn how Satan thinks so we could expose his schemes. And this is what I have tried to do in this lesson. I want to expose, let you know how the enemy thinks, knowing the enemy. So one of the ways that he gets a roadmap into us is through our mind. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Paul is writing this to believers. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds. So one of the things is the enemy creates a stronghold in our mind, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is very interesting because there are a lot of things that are set up in our mind. The enemy takes advantage of everything that has ever happened to us, and he places it in our mind. These are called paradigms. We view the world how life has happened to us, and we view our future, and we view God, and we view everything, our spiritual makeup, our being. We view our spiritual walk on how things have happened to us in the past, and they're called strongholds. And the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, to pull them down, to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, you could be in church, you could be raising your hands, worshiping God, you could be praising Him with song, and the most vile and evil thought will be in your mind about somebody or something. And this is what this word is saying. It says, this is a stronghold that must be torn down out of your mind. Well, how did it get there? Well, the devil put it there. He created it through scenarios and things, bad experiences that happened to you, or lust or pornography or something of that nature. He opened the door. The door was opened. And guess what? The devil brings all these things into your head. Murder, who could be in your mind while you're still you're worshiping God, and all of a sudden this vile thing, this imagination that's in your mind is just trying to destroy you at the same time. So these are one of the areas of warfare. See, the Romans 8:6 says, the mind is set on the flesh is death, but mind set on the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, is life and peace. Well, we got to get to that point of life and peace. We have to replace those thoughts. Here's what I do. When the devil does this to me, I'm worshiping, I'm praising God, and all of a sudden this stupid or evil thought comes to my head. And it's from a wound or a hurt or something of that nature. I say, I take this thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I do. I take this thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and I pull down this stronghold in Jesus' name. You see, this, my mind is a fleshly mind. And sometimes it gets twisted and wounded through imaginations. These are imaginary wars that are in your head. That's right. You could go right down an imaginary war in your head while you're still worshiping God. Well, they have to be torn down. You know, it is said well in Genesis 4:7, if you do well, God is speaking, if you do well, speaking to Cain, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, see? You must master it. James says it a little differently here. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, James 1:15. It gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. So we have to pull down these ungodly thoughts in our head. You see, family? Start listening to worship music more and more. Put on godly TV. Stop watching those stupid movies and those stupid things on TV that don't bring God the glory. Now, remember I told you about, in the first part of that, it says our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Guess what? Here's some of the weapons of our warfare. The name of Jesus is a weapon of warfare. Write this down. The name of Jesus. We can bind the powers of darkness. The name of Jesus. We can cast demons out. In the name of Jesus, we can heal the sick and raise the dead. In the name of Jesus, that's the most powerful name ever spoken, the name of Jesus. So one of the weapons of your warfare is the name of Jesus. Remember, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be what? Sozos, saved, healed, delivered. Right? Okay, so number two, here's another weapon of your warfare. The blood of the Lamb, Revelation 12:11. And the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I've come to learn that it's important to apply the blood of Jesus to my prayers more and more and more. I cover myself and my family and my possessions with the precious blood of Jesus before I either go into battle or even if the laying on of hands. Sometimes there's unholy impartation, and I cover myself with the blood of Jesus because sometimes I don't know who the people are that gather around and want to lay hands on you. You see, the precious blood of Jesus. Cover yourself with the blood of Jesus. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But the blood of Jesus. Claim it. The blood. And your testimony. Oh, what is your testimony? Well, that's the things that God has done for you. That God has freed you or set you free or put you on the right path. That's the word of your testimony. That is a weapon of warfare. That's right. Devil, I'm not going to listen to you because God did blah, 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 blah. You see, you tell the devil. I don't believe you, devil. You're a liar. God has delivered me or healed me or put me on this pathway or put me in this position. And you tell the devil that, the word of your testimony. It's important to share your testimony before people, too, to be healed and delivered. Let them know the bondage Satan had on you and let them know how Jesus set you free. It's your testimony. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Try to make it into an elevator speech. The time that it takes from the sixth floor to the first floor. Just a short little thing. Not a long thing. It's important to give your testimony. And by the way, that helps people get set free too. It gives them courage and enlightens them and gives them faith. Well, let's see. Now, the Word of God is another one. The Word of God is another thing that will as a weapon of warfare. The Word of God, Matthew 4:1, Jesus was led up into the Spirit into the wilderness and to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And the tempter came. Who's the tempter? The devil. The tempter came and said to him, of course, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered and said to him, it is written. And this happened three times. The devil tempted him and gave him scripture. The devil knows scripture, family. Believe me, he knows scripture. And he said, he responded back with scripture. So many times I respond back to the devil with scripture. When I'm in deliverance, when I'm casting demons out of people, I quote scripture. I use scripture in my delivering people. I also lay hands on people. I use that too. I command as a policeman commands. I don't beseech or beg or rebuke or have the Lord rebuke them. I command of the authority has been given to me, just like the authority has been given to you. So I quote scripture at the enemy. Quoting scripture. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Get the Word of God in you so you can get it out of you. Get it in you. Start reading it. Thank you, Lord. Let's see now. Sometimes people ask me, what are demons? Where do they come from? And my answer is that demons are spirits without bodies who seek bodies to operate in and to express themselves through a person. And their desire is to fight against God and against those whom God loves. And their origin is a matter of speculation, but we really don't know for sure. There are several theories. One theory is that they're pre-Adamic race. Another theory is that they're a product of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Well, they could be angels or it could be demonic spirits. You'll have to read Genesis 6, 1 through 2, and you'll see that they had relationships with the daughters of men, women, and they took them as their wives. And I think that's the reason, one of the reasons why the earth was flooded, because the race was polluted with demonic spirits. Now, Matthew 12:43 says that when a spirit's cast out, it wants to return to its house. And I find that's very much the case. Demons want to come back. Know your enemy. They are, when they're cast out, they want to come back. They were comfortable there. They look in. They peer in. They say, nothing's changed. Come on back in. They have, demons have a will. They have an intellect. They choose where, and they want to come back. Here's some of the things you should know about the enemy, demons. James 2:19 says, you believe that there's one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. See, demons fear. Understand this about this. Demons fear. They have emotions. They tremble. When you are in ministry, when you are going into ministry, or just remember this, they are afraid of God, and they are afraid of being cast out. They tremble. They have knowledge. Mark 1 Verse 23 and 24, there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have to do we do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So they have, the demons have knowledge. Understand that, family. They have knowledge. They have fear. They have emotions. They tremble. And they have self-awareness. My name is Legion, Mark 5:9. They knew who they were. There were many of them and this one guy in the tombs. My name is Legions. They have self-awareness. Here's another one. They have the ability to speak. Let us alone, like I said before. They have the ability to speak out of people. And sometimes I called a lady up recently and not too far back, and she was in the process of thinking about suicide. And the demon knew, why did you call? You see, the demon knew. The demon knew. And so they have awareness. They have the ability to speak out of a person. Acts chapter 16:17. They prognosticate the future or foretell the future. Remember the girl, the servant girl that had the spirit of divination? And she was crying out, these are the men of this most high God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. She was saying all the right things, but it was demonically inspired. They had been given information. Yeah, these are the men of God. And what did Paul do? He turned around and spoke to the spirit. I command you to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. And she was set free. But, you know, of course, that caused a whole big disturbance in the city. But they prognosticate and foretell the future. They know it. So they have wills, they have intellect, they have knowledge, they have emotion, they have self-awareness, they have ability to speak. And everything a human soul has, they have. Okay, family, they understand that. They understand that. So there are different kinds of demons, as it says in Mark 12, verse 45. Know this, because I want you to know what the enemy does and how he operates. There's more wicked ones. Watch this. Mark 12, 45. Then he, the evil spirit, goes out and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. All right? They want to come back into the person, right? Some demons cause more wickedness than others. So understand that. Some are doing one thing, but some do horrendous things. And then there's the ones that are, Jesus said, when that boy was thrown into the fire, into the water, in Mark 9, verse 29, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So some demons need to be prayed out a little bit more, and there's has to be some fasting, focusing in on God a little bit more. Some demons seem to be harder to get out than others, and I think you'll experience this too. So you need to be prayed up before you go into deliverance. Now, here are some of the ways the enemy uses. Just like God has titles and God is exalted in his titles, well, guess what? Satan has titles and names too, and he operates in those things too. And this is sometimes I use these titles that he has and call him out. Abaddon, A-B-B-A-D-D-O-N, Abaddon, Revelation 19:11. Accuser, Psalm 109, verse 6. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do I take this side road? Do I take it, Father? No. Okay. Revelation 12:10, adversary. Accuser, I'm sorry, accuser. Psalm 109, verse 6, and Revelation 12:10. Adversary, 1 Peter 5:8. Apollyon, well, that's Greek for destroyer. Revelation 9:11. Beelzebul, Matthew 10:25. Mark 3:22. Belial, 2 Corinthians 6:15. Deceiver of the world, Revelation 12:9, devil. And there's a whole bunch of scriptures here. Matthew 4:1 through 5. Matthew 5:41, John 6:70, John 13:2, Ephesians 4:27, and there's more and more. The Revelation 2:10, verse 2. Then there's dragon. The title is dragon. He's called the dragon. Revelation 12:9. He's called the enemy. Matthew 13:28. Evil one. Matthew 13:19. John 17:15. Ephesians 6:16. God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Liar. He's called a liar. John 8:44. He's called murderer. John 8:44 again. Prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2. Ruler of demons. Matthew 9:34. Mark 3:22. Ruler of this world. John 12:31. John 12:14. John 14:30. John 16:11. Ruler of this world. Serpent of old. Revelation 12:9. Now, when I do deliverance, sometimes I will call them, if I don't have the name of the spirit, I'll say to them, I'll call him, the demon, out by its title. You, the adversary. You, the accuser. You, Beelzebul. You, the devil. You, the evil one. You, the enemy. You, the father of lies. You, the murderer. See, I personify the enemy by saying you, and then I call him out by his title. You, the prince of the power of the air, come out in the name of Jesus. You see, you could use the titles of his name. Know your enemy, know the titles, and call him out by his titles. Derek Prince has a book called They Shall Expel Demons. He lists 9 things demons do. Number 1, they entice. Number 2, they harass. Number 3, they torture. Number 4, they compel. Number 5, they enslave. Number 6, they cause addictions. And number 7, they defile. Number 8, they deceive. Number 9, they attack the physical body. I find this to be so true. You see, I want you to know your enemy. That's what he does. He does that. He does these things. He enslaves. He deceives. He defiles. He compels. He tortures. He attacks the physical body. Some of the methods that he uses is, I got 10 minutes, so I better hurry up here. He sows tares among the wheat. His agents among you. He sows, in other words, he plants people right alongside of you. Matthew 13:25-30. That's about the tares and the wheat and how they grow together. Read that whole scripture, please, family. So he sows tares among the wheat. And he plants people right alongside of you. And you have to discern who they are and what they believe and so forth and so on before you start walking in agreement with them. Number 2, he sows false doctrine. 1 Timothy 4 talks about the very beginning here. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So some are going to be in the faith and they're going to be pulled aside for doctrines of demons, speaking lies of hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods. This is all, by the way, you need to read this. To stay away from foods created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So he sows false doctrine in believers. Number three, he hinders the work of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. I wanted to come to you, Paul is writing, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Sometimes Satan will hinder a move of God. Number four, Satan hinders the prayers of people. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel prayed and was hindered for 3 weeks. The angel couldn't get back to him to give him an answer because there was war in heaven. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. The number five would be Satan veils and blinds the minds of people so they won't receive the truth of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. He steals the truth. Number six, he steals the truth. When I'm going to read it to you, Matthew 13, 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one, remember I told you it's one of his titles, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed along the wayside. So sometimes God will give the seed, and the wicked one comes and snatches it away. He steals the truth from us. Somebody will get the gospel, and they'll start leaning in that way of the gospel. And then somebody will come along that's of the enemy and say, oh, no, it's not that way. And they'll steal the truth from them. Number seven, he is the deceiver of the world, Revelation 12, 9. So the scripture reads, so the great dragon was cast down, and the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. You see, he deceives the whole world. That's why the world's in trouble today, family. You look upon what's going on, wars and rumors of wars and things that are going on in the whole world. The whole world's upside down because he deceives the whole world. Number eight. He's the accuser of the brethren. I read this to you before, Revelation 12:10. Number nine, he sets snares for people, 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they come to their senses. Who come to their senses? Us come to our senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Some Christians are held captive by the devil to do his will. That's why it's important to do deliverance. Number 10, he tempts people. He tempts people. Matthew 4, 1. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Guess what? If Jesus was tempted by the tempter, we could be tempted. Number 11, he can physically afflict people. Job. Come on, Job. 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 Job's 2:7. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Oh my gosh, yeah, family. Satan does afflict. He afflicts with physical and illnesses and diseases. Number 12, he can spiritually afflict people with demons. Mark 5:15, the guy with the legion. He induces a sinner, number 13. He induces a sinner and the saint to sin against God. 1 Chronicles 21:1. The senses that King David took. Guess who influenced him? Verse 1. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. That's right. That's right. It was placed right in David's brain, right in his mind. Go number Israel. Don't rely on the Lord anymore. You have to rely on how many numbers that you have. Blah, 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 blah. Satan stands up and moves people to sin against God. There's more scripture on that. Satan went into Judas at the breaking of the bread and the dinner time. For John 13:27. And Matthew 16:22, Peter was rebuked by Jesus because Satan filled his heart. Get behind me, Satan. That scripture, Satan filled him. Ananias and Sapphira, Satan filled their heart. And Acts chapter 5, Satan filled their heart, verse 3. So we see all these things that the enemy does. Father, we come against these evil spirits that have entered us in the name of Jesus Christ. I command them to be bound, unlink themselves from each other, not to render aid to each other, but to come out in Jesus' name. I command every demon that entered into us, that with deception, error spirits that caused me to lie, spirits that fill my ears with lying spirits, to be bound and powerless and to come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I command insecurity, inferiority to come out in Jesus. Promiscuity, come out. Rape, incest, come out in Jesus' name. Drugs, alcohol, tobacco, come out in Jesus' name. Gossip, come out in Jesus' name. Out, you spirits of succubus and incubus that attack at night. You, the ones that attack us sexually, come out in Jesus' name. False gods, idol worship, Mary worship, come out. Rebellion, out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Error, all error, come out in Jesus' name. Out, out in Jesus' name. All occultism, come out. Divination, come out in Jesus' name. Out, fortune telling, come out in Jesus' name. Out, witchcraft, come out. Out, out, multiple personality, come out in Jesus' name. Out, 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 out in Jesus' name. Out, come out in Jesus' name. Fornication, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 And all spirits that are connected with those, come out in Jesus' name. All kindred spirits. All spirits in their family, all spirits of generational line curses, come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Bloodline curses, be void of your power. Galatians 3:13, Jesus has become the curse for you and hung on the tree. Jesus paid for your curse. All generational line curses, come out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come in. Jesus, come in. Take up residence where these evil spirits were, so that when the wicked one comes back, when the evil one comes back and tries to come back with seven more demons, more wicked than themselves, they'll see you standing there. Holy Spirit, you standing there. Lord, show us how to take a stand against the enemy and just say no to him when he tries to come back. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Back to you, Shannon.
Great word today, Brother Frank. What would you like to title this for the archive tonight?
Knowing your enemy.
Knowing your enemy. Excellent. And Brother Frank, I want you to give out some information about your ministry. When can people tune in to other broadcasts, and how do they contact you and support your ministry?
They can contact me through my website. I have a website called spiritualwarfarenow.com, spiritualwarfarenow.com, and I do teachings once a month. This coming Saturday, I'm going to be doing a teaching on healing the wounded spirit. And they can sign up for it on my website. It's on the front page. They can go for it. They have to have Zoom for it, though. This is a Zoom meeting, and there's going to be people from all around the world in the Zoom meeting. So I'll do a teaching on it, then I'll do mass deliverance, and then I'll open up the phone lines for question and answer. But the website is called Spiritual Warfare Now. .com or frankmarzullo.com, either one, and you can get into it that way. But look for the Zoom meeting, the Zoom church meeting I have once a month. It's usually on the last Saturday of the month. And if you're welcome to donate, you're welcome to. It's all free, but you're welcome to donate if you wish, if the Holy Spirit puts upon your heart. Now, My phone number in there is area code 386-736-2820. That's area code 386-736-2820. It goes to an answer machine because of all the telemarketers. I don't want to pick it up for them. And I'll return the call as soon as I can. Now, back to donating. I want those that are listening tonight to donate to you, Shannon. I want you are making a way for people to get set free by having teachers like myself come on. So I want people to listen very carefully. If you eat at a restaurant, you go to that restaurant, you go ahead and you take the bill from that restaurant, you go to the cash register and you pay the bill. You don't go to another restaurant to pay the bill. I don't eat at Burger King and I don't pay at McDonald's. Wherever I eat, I pay. And so that's what I'm asking. Family, I want you to do that. You ate tonight at Shannon Davis's Omega Man radio station. I want you to pay there. If you are led by the Holy Spirit to do any giving or any paying, I want you to give to Shannon Davis and Omega Man radio tonight. Shannon, give your information out.
Brother Frank, the website is omegamanradio.com. And let me tack something on to my explanation of the origins of the name. Really, it's an important detail. We didn't start this podcast until about 2010. That's when the Lord called me back to America from Costa Rica and we launched it. But actually, in 2005, Brother Frank, I opened up a gun store. And the name was none other than Omega Man Weaponry. And my logo was a gas mask superimposed over a nuclear mushroom cloud. So some 20 years ago, I really considered myself a Christian survivalist. I was trying to prepare in the arm of the flesh, to survive come what may. And, we were living in some pretty crazy times 20 years ago, not unlike today. And the store I had went for about 4 years. It was up in North Georgia in Gainesville, and really my specialty was black guns. I was a Glock stocking dealer. I stocked for Armalite, Rock River Arsenal, many of the manufacturers. And I prided myself on having a great selection of military sporting arms. Also sold accessories and things like that. And the whole concept around it was preparing someone to be able to defend their family from enemies, both foreign and domestic. So when the Lord called me to do the program, Obama had already come into play, and I figured he was going to come on board and basically cancel our Second Amendment rights in America. Boy, was I wrong. It was the greatest gun sale of all times. I should have stayed in business, but I closed shop and went to Costa Rica. Well, the Lord had other plans anyway. At that time, I was trying to prepare people, with an actual physical armory. And so that where it's translated from there to what we're doing now is it's a spiritual armory. We need weapons to fight the enemy. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So that's kind of the evolution of the name. It's preparing men and women to endure to the end, to be overcomers for Christ, and arming them with weapons, deliverance ministry, that we can use to fight back against the demons that are trying to put us all in a body bag and take us out, and to help set the captives free. So I really appreciate programs like tonight. That's really my love, is deliverance teaching. Because, when I came on the scene about 2010 to start this program, I had grown up in the church. Brother Frank, both my grandfathers were Church of God pastors, Pentecostal. They loved Jesus, preached the gospel, spoke in tongues, prayed for people. We had altar calls. They won souls, but I never saw any deliverance going on. That was the missing part of Jesus' ministry that I never saw growing up. That was just something they did over in Haiti, for voodoo practitioners. But, the Church of God is the Assemblies of God, and many out there pretty much think today a Christian can't have a demon. Boy, are they wrong, and was I wrong?
Oh, boy, were they wrong.
And yeah. when I when I became aware of the fact everybody needs some deliverance, and it's the first sign that falls in that believe, and realized if only my own family had known about deliverance, maybe some of them would not have died prematurely, taken out by even things like generational curses. Boy, did I have a shift in my thinking, and we went all in, and June will make 14 years on the air by the grace of God. We're about 100 episodes away from doing 11,000 episodes, and I give the Lord Jesus the praise for that. Hopefully it's helped somebody out there to be an overcomer in these last days, and these programs will continue to help people for as long as they can circulate out there. I want to say one more thing, though. When I came on in 2010, brother, you were already on the internet. When did you get started in podcasting? Because you had a website way back then in 2010 that was broadcasting deliverance sermons.
My father gave me money to buy a computer and get on the air. Dad said to me, Frank, you need to get on the air. People need to hear your word, your message. And that was before 2003, so wow. I would think 2011.
Brother,
I'm sorry. 2003? Maybe around 2000, 2001, 2000, man. Somewhere in there.
That is amazing.
And that's when I started.
You're one of the pioneers in podcasting for Jesus doing Deliverance Radio. We're honored to be with you. Give out your website again, please.
SpiritualWarfareNow.com or FrankMarzullo.com. FrankMarz as in zebra, ULLO.com.
My friend, thank you for coming on tonight. Look at your schedule and see if you can get me a date for May, and I'm looking forward to being back on you with you when you can.
Will do.
Okay, brother.
God bless you. God bless you. The family of God out there.
Amen.
All right.
Love you, brother.
The next time in his plan.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
All right. Bye-bye.
Folks, Peter Johnson coming up next. I want to thank Brother Frank. Just imagine that. He's been doing this for about 24 years. One of the pioneers of podcasting for Jesus doing Deliverance Radio. That is amazing testimony. Okay. Let's get Peter Johnson on. Let me save this. We'll be right back.